It's time to spark it up with the Kennel Linguists.
I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after you go to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store gun store. Check cash in place. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the vagina. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Cannalinguist coming right at you, talking about some Italian Army issue weed. The first ever 3-day cannabis film festival kicking off. The future of marijuana vaping and is the best way to control weed regulation. We are the Cannalinguists. I am Alex Mandelberg. With me, as always, my stone most co-host, April O'Connor, here on the Crab Diving Network, coming to you live from the Riffopolis Studios. How you doing, April?
Riffopolis.
I'm
I got my lap full.
You got a lap full of puppy. You are probably the happiest co-host I've ever seen. You got a glass of Jameson, a lap full of puppy, and as soon as we're done doing this episode, we're going to go play some of the new Mortal Kombat X.
Oh my God.
April has been enjoying the shit. For those of you listening, April has been really enjoying my girlfriend playing my roommate at Mortal Kombat 10 on our TV out there, because my girlfriend gets just very impassioned.
First of all, it's games. It's not a fucking TV. It is a wall sized entertainment center.
We have a 120 inch projection screen TV that is 10 feet for those of you who need the math done for you.
It is a wall of Mortal Kombat. It's a wall of fatalities and blood and squirming tongues. That was pretty gross. But I can't wait to go play.
It was very awesome. We can't wait to get out there. But first up,
it was just crazy because it's like when walking up to the house, there's some serious screaming.
Oh, you heard the screaming from outside. There's no way you don't hear the screaming. We were violently enjoying our time.
I hope they're not fighting. This is going to be awkward. Oh, good. It's just Mortal Kombat. And I was just thinking...
They are fighting, but not the type of fighting I was thinking.
Oh, the type of fighting I love. I saw the ad for it, and I was like, fuck, do I have to buy an Xbox just to play this game? No.
No, you don't.
I don't.
You just got to come over to your co-host's house, baby. Anyway, so first up, we got this...
Casa de fuck yeah.
We got this Italian Army issue weed. So apparently, Italy, for those of you who don't know, does have a medical issue in place, and the Italian Army has been trying to grow some weed on their own. Apparently, it's going very well. They expect to churn out anywhere from 100 kilograms, about 220 pounds, for those of you listening to us in the States, which is probably fucking all of you.
It's their first run, so, you know, they're like any novice.
First run,
farmer.
Only 220 pounds, pussies.
I know,
not
right?
Even trying. Just like, goddamn. But,
you know, go big or go home, right? I mean, it's crazy that it's medical marijuana is available there, but
yeah,
growing it privately is still illegal.
Yes.
And selling it is also against the law.
And the problem is right now, based on prices in the Netherlands, they expected prices in Italy right now, currently about 35 euros, which is about $40 US per gram, which is... that's overpaying on a lot of... I know here in California, that's about double what you'll usually pay for a gram.
If I was in Italy and it was decent weed, I'd pay three times that price, four times that, because there's just like really crappy weed or really like gnarly hash.
All of Europe is very rough with flowers. Mm-hmm. If you're hash, butt hash or finger hash, however you want to call it, is readily available. You can find it in most places. We're laughing right now because you can hear my girlfriend screaming from the living room about some more Mortal Kombat going on. But hash is very available. Flowers, different story altogether. It's not as easy to get flowers. I remember when I was in England a few years ago, there were quite a few people who offered me hash. Yeah. And It was not a difficult thing to find. But when it came to flowers, that was near impossible.
Yeah.
I found one guy who offered to sell some to me, and then he got kicked out of the club because he decided to do a bunch of blow in the bathroom.
Oh.
And they caught him doing that. Oh. I'm like, well, yeah, maybe you weren't going to come. Maybe this was a blessing in disguise. Maybe this was a good thing.
I only visited Italy one time.
Actually, this wasn't in England. This was in England, but it was in Wales, which isn't technically England.
Oh, it's Great Britain. But
it's Great Britain. It's on the same island, but it's a different country technically.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was in Wales.
There's that. I've only been there one time, but I mean, there's definitely, you smell the hash when you go around. You can smell people smoking spliffs.
Yeah.
But I was there with an Italian friend. So, and when you're American visiting like a country alone, you just kind of talk to anybody that's American. You're like,
yeah.
Oh, you speak English? Cool. And they had some like super dirt weed that they got from somebody like around the Trastevere, which is in Rome. And they, I don't know, it was seedy and gross, but I hadn't smoked in like almost a week, and that was the longest I'd gone, not by choice.
I no longer smoke cigarettes. I'm onto the vaporizing thing. But whenever I'm in other cities and abroad, especially in other countries, I will always kind of revert back to my old ways of smoking cigarettes.
Right.
Not so much because, oh, I'm on vacation, I'm going to have cigarettes and enjoy myself. It's because there's nothing better to spark a conversation with a foreigner than them wanting to bum a cigarette off you. Here in America, when someone bums a cigarette off you, they're like, can I get a cigarette from you? Yeah, here you go. Light it for them. They're like, thanks, man. And they walk away.
Yeah.
When someone overseas bums a cigarette off you, they almost feel obligated to a point where it's a weight on you giving them a cigarette. That you're like, if I give this person a cigarette, I'm going to have to talk to them the entire time they smoke this cigarette. We're now having a cigarette together. No options. Whether I was having a cigarette at the time, whether I just finished one, I better start another one. Because now we are having a cigarette together. That's the way the overseas rules work. So, yeah, it's a very different world over there. I enjoy smoking over there.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what Italian army grown weed is going to be like. You think it's going to be good weed?
I think that it's going to be weed. They're going to make money. I don't know if it's going to be the bomb, but it's going to make the money. It's going to be weed. I mean,
dropping that in sync beat. It's going to be weed.
It's their first run. I mean, you got to give it a few tries. It's good. The first run, I think, might be shaky, but maybe they're doing it in an army laboratory. So this is, they have like high tech.
They got it. They kidnapped some dude from Saudi Arabia who was real good at growing the kush.
He
was real good at growing the kush. They're like, hey, Samuel, go out there, kidnap him, bring him back here, tell him how to grow some of the weed. And they brought him back there. And so I got to imagine they were well informed when they're going. They weren't just like, oh, I got some seeds, bro. I got some seeds, let's plant. Or I guess, I got some of the seeds, bro. Let's plant them and see what happens. You know, I don't think that's how it happened. I think this is a well informed weed growing operation.
I mean,
governments. Most government, God, this is going to sound so hypocritical when I say it. I really believe most governments don't do things completely uninformed.
Right.
Even when they're evil.
Well,
they do evil things very well informed.
They had poverty hit a record high, and just at the end of 2013, there's, you know, articles.
Well, the whole Mediterranean is just broke as shit. You got Greece broke as shit. You got Italy was almost broke as shit. You've got.
They're not doing anything different from what we do here. It's like, oh, what, the CIA sells cocaine so that they can buy arms or sell arms and whatever. I mean, it's the same thing. The army's growing the weed so that they can make money and make medical marijuana more available to people. Bullshit. You need guns.
I get what you're saying, but here in the United States, the government has not yet got involved in the production of weed. We've had state governments that have gotten involved. Washington more so than Colorado, but that's turned into a lot higher prices in Washington than in Colorado.
Washington was that town, right?
Yeah, that was that town. Although
that had a government ran.
Justin, who was just in here, he was back up in Washington recently and went to another recreational place and said that prices have dropped significantly since last time we were there. So
no $90 out the door?
It's not $90 out the door. It's no longer $90 for 2 grams. He says the prices have gone down quite a bit, but that also probably has a lot to do with a lot of California growers being shipped up there by the state, because the state's going, well, if we pay people to come in and grow for us,
well, yeah,
the production will go up and the price will go down.
The quality will go up.
Yeah.
I mean, from my experience
Because Cali grows best.
I was speaking with a lawyer back in Massachusetts about that was trying to set up dispensaries out there, and the Department of Public Health basically was overseeing this very, very rigid application process. And for the applications, you know, you have to have a business model based on an already existing, you know, working idea. So
you can't just go, hey, I want to sell some weed. All right, cool. Here's a business license. Go ahead. Sell weed.
I mean, even over there to get a license, you had to already have the money in the bank, already have everybody ready, already have a board of trustees, already have a location just for the application process.
Italy went, hey, you know all that shit we said it's illegal for you to do? You have to have set up the ability to do it already illegally. And if you can prove you can do all of it, then we'll give you the right to do it legally.
Right. Well, what they're saying is this is in Massachusetts I'm talking about.
Oh, Massachusetts. Yeah. I thought this was Italy.
No.
But that is the same. That's what you're saying.
That they're shipping people up there, but they're shipping people everywhere.
All right.
Here's what you got to do.
I need you. All that shit that I said that you can't do, you have to show me that you could do it, and then I'll give you a license to do it.
Well, you know, like Harborside, the D'Angelo's, they have a consultant company called Canby, and they've been going around helping. You know, you have to have employee manuals and all these things so that you can duplicate it in another state. It has to be a working business model. So it's the same idea with over there. They're gonna use people that know what the fuck they're doing, hopefully.
Well,
that they can make you get $5 grams and so that they can buy themselves some weapons. Let's be honest. Why the fuck else would the army be growing it and not anybody else?
You think
else?
This is all about Italy getting big guns? Because who the fuck is Italy going to take over?
It's not about them taking over. It's about them just... Everybody wants guns.
And government. I get that whole thing, but I've gotten to the point where I really think that... And I think most governments have realized that we are past the point of guns mattering on the battlefield. I think warfare has gotten to such a point that it's guns, I get it.
I'm speaking the future guns. I'm speaking in a broad, like, just meaning, you know.
Army financing,
weaponry, whatever, war.
But there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's that same thing as, okay, taxes for cigarettes in New York are violently high. People are paying like 10 to 12 bucks a pack.
I lived in New York City a decade ago and it was that expensive.
Yeah.
They've got to be like 20 bucks a pack now for an American
Spirit. It's not that bad, but it's, for American Spirit, maybe 15, 16. It's at least double digit figures.
Yeah, if somebody offers me a buck for a cigarette, I'm taking it.
You're absolutely taking it.
I might ask for two.
But the reason it's so high is because the taxes that make it that high go towards paying police salaries and school financing.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Here in California, most of our tobacco tax goes towards public schools.
Yeah.
So that's what those big taxes are going towards, and I don't mind what I consider a luxury item for myself,
mm-hmm.
which if it's medicinal, I understand, and there are people who have other items, and I consider it medicinal for myself, but I understand it also as a luxury item. I want my taxes that I pay on that to go towards something useful.
Right.
So if it's going towards something useful, I got no problem paying those taxes. I've always said the happiest I ever was, the first time that I got my card, my medicinal card, and I went to a shop, like, would you like to pay by cash or by card? And I went, I can pay by card. Uh-huh. And I went, yeah, well, we're charging you taxes. This is all legal. Huh. I went, do you have any idea how happy I was to pay tax on weed?
Yeah.
It was a sense of pride. Yeah. And I went, okay, I'm paying tax on this. This is going towards my state. That is going towards bettering where I live. Mm-hmm. That is part of money I would spend anyways because I like smoking weed.
I know. But the point I was meaning about that is that war is the biggest profit for...
Well, I mean, talk to the Bush family.
That's what makes this country more money than oil or the... you know, entertainment industry or anything. It's you know, arms development and, you know,
yes, at times. But that, you know,
that's definitely a fact for
it,
sure.
It is. It absolutely is. But I don't think that's why Italy's army is raising weed. I don't think they're worried about falling behind in any kind of arms race that's going on.
I don't mean it in a saying like an arms race. I just mean it's the army growing it. They probably, you know, if it had to do with public health, it would be a different, like, part of the government altogether. It's the army. The army needs some money, and they can, you know, keep it safe. And I don't know. I think that they're gonna have cheap weed for people.
They can certainly guard the fucking shit out of that weed. I will say that much.
But instead of buying it from the Netherlands, they're gonna be growing it themselves, and they're still going to be making money, and it's going to go back in, you know, back into their army, so that maybe they can have, you know, better.
The main reason I want us to federally legalize marijuana is just so that we can fucking smack the Netherlands off the map as far as weed exportation.
Oh, really?
Because we grow way better.
We grow way better.
I know that I just said earlier that we don't have any listeners overseas, but if we do and you're in Amsterdam, we grow better fucking weed than you do, goddammit.
We grow better weed, but they have great genetics. And they have great seed banks. So it might be...
I don't need you saying all these words that I don't understand. All right, come on. You know I don't know what the fuck a seed bank is.
And talking about fucking seeds and strains.
God damn it.
Genetics, strains.
Yeah, genetics and strains. I do know what that is, I guess.
But for the longest time, I mean, that's where people were getting a lot of their seeds. From overseas, yeah.
Well,
I mean.
But we grow it better here.
Oh, that's, I mean, we're definitely in agreement on that. Nobody grows it like California.
I'm not gonna throw down California on the gauntlet of best growers. I'm from
New England. There's some bomb ass weed in New England, Vermont.
Even
Maine.
Saying that California grows the best, I guess I should. I'm gonna amend my own statement even and say North America grows the best weed of all the seven continents. The best weed is absolutely grown on the North American continent, because I do have to shout out to my bros up in British Columbia. Those dudes grow some superb, absolutely top-notch flowers. I mean real effing good.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said the story before. They're so polite about how they sell it too. They don't even bug you about it. They're like, would you like to buy some weed? I'm like, no, I don't smoke weed. Cool, good on you, bro. Stay in school. Like, whoa, shit, man. Hell yeah. I love British Columbia. All right, I guess moving right along. So the first ever marijuana film festival kicked off, a 3-day film festival. Where you said it was kicking off right around the right around Humboldt, right?
In Garberville, which is Southern Humboldt County. They, you know, in the article they're saying that's like the heart.
April's shuffling through her bag of many a weed paraphernalia.
Just pulling out the vape, you know.
We're closing in on the 20-minute marker. We got 40 seconds to go.
Here, I got some Dragon.
Oh, shit. I already loaded this. Don't worry. There'll be plenty of weed smoked. Once we hit the 20-minute mark, that's just the start of Alex smoking towards the end of the episode. There'll be 40 minutes of smoking once we hit the 20-minute mark. But, yeah, so this... this 3-day film festival kicking off. 3 days, that's a long time for a film festival, I feel
like. Is it? Well, the LA one is big, right? It's an LA one.
It is, but it isn't. But it is, but it isn't. It's that thing where I go, it's short for a film festival. It's long for an inaugural cannabis film festival.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means that you're kind of letting everybody cannabis in to make sure you fill up the 3 days.
Yeah.
I feel like. So it might not be great. Some of the – God – what upsets me so much is that obviously all of the titles of the films just have to be terrible fucking puns. The names of the films: Hi There, Tricky Bidness, The Space Queen, and
strain.
The Growing Season. Phineas and Ferb, Solid Gold, The People's Choice. Could we not get one name that was just the name of a fucking film and not a goddamn pun for smoking weed? We're at the 20-minute mark. I'm smoking weed, goddammit.
I love puns. So many people don't. I get a good kick out of them. I think they're hacky as fuck, but I just love them.
Love a good pun there.
I love punishing people.
Are you punny? Feeling very punny over there.
Don't get me started.
Well, before we smoke your little dragon, I got some Phyllis Diller loaded up if you want to hit
hello,
that.
Hello, Phyllis.
I always have Phyllis on this show. I can't help it. I should try.
I think that's good because if not, I'd be like, meh.
I should try doing different strains for the show, but I always am like, I fucking like Phyllis, goddammit, so I'm smoking
actually doing
it.
A lot better, though, because after HempCon, I was ripping so many dabs that I kind of started ripping through weed when I got back. I'm like, oh, I can. Because that's why I don't really do too many concentrates too often, because it fucks up everything. I'm like, shit, I smoked all that weed already. I'm like, I can't afford that.
I can't afford to have a high tolerance. Jesus. Oh, man. You're going to have to start setting alarms on your phones. Like, I can't smoke weed for another 2 hours. Alarm, Siri. Remind me to smoke weed in 2 hours.
That's amazing. Yeah, and it's so I can't hang. But this looks like a fun little thing to do. I mean, it was. Let's see, the date.
Well, that's the new thing, is weed as a tourist attraction in the United States.
It's this weekend.
Yeah, it's this weekend. It's during the Manny Pacquiao fight is the first night of it, which is a bad fucking idea to have anything going on during that night, but is what it is. Oh, yeah.
What else is there? There's there's the draft.
Yeah, and there's also Performing Under the Influence at the Hollywood Hotel, hosted by Alex Mandelberg and Quincy Johnson.
How are we going to watch the fight if you have Performing Under the Influence?
I don't know what you're saying because I'm not ordering the fight. Wink, wink. No, I still don't even know how I feel about ordering the fight, yes or no. But
I get it. It's either the number one draft pick.
The fight is going to be over, they say, by 9, yeah. And PUI starts at 10 out here on the West Coast. So
you can just go to Jameson's.
We're going to be perfectly fine about it.
Pre-game at Jameson's. See, do you have to comply with the whole you can't drink till the show starts because it's your show?
No, not at all.
So it's only the people performing that are chosen to
perform.
I've
told people every time I go, I am the host, so my job is to be able to manage myself throughout the evening, but I have to be fucked. So
yeah,
I'm fucked from the time I make sure that I'm just good enough when I get on stage that I can be a normal human being.
Yeah.
But I've hosted PUI 6 or 7 times now.
Oh, wow. It's already been that long, I've done it twice, but not since you took it over.
Yeah, I've hosted 6 or 7 times, and every single time, I have not done a set. I never do a set there. I like that comics have an opportunity to do something special, to get up to do a set 100% sober, and then to get up later and do a set as fucked up as they could humanly get. I think that's something special for them. So I like taking as little time as I can. I get up, I get the crowd riled, I let them know what the show is, and then I introduce the first comic and I let the show get started. Yeah. I like that that's what the show is.
I know. A lot of times when I'm hosting, I don't really like to do a set, but I'll riff in between.
But there is no way that we will have as much of a crowd as this marijuana film festival, so I don't
I don't know. know. PUI always seems to draw.
We keep picking up. We keep picking up. The show's getting bigger and bigger. I mean, a lot of people like the idea of it is fun.
Oh, it's great.
It's a wonderful idea. Right now, it attracts a lot more comics than crowd because there's a lot of comics who go, oh, I want to see that comic. Fucked up.
Because there's some people that do it that don't
and a
normally
lot of, and
drink.
Sometimes, and rarely, but sometimes I enjoy Jeff that May. More. People go, I want to see that comic sober.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. I mean, few times I did it, people went, Alex, I regularly tell people.
They say you're supposed to wake up and not have anything until you're set.
I regularly tell people I haven't seen anybody that I know and cherish in my life sober in a decade probably. So except for when I did the PUI shows when I was performing on it.
When I guess I didn't do it right because I definitely smoked in the morning. You know, I didn't smoke a few hours before. I was sober.
If you didn't smoke 4 hours before, I'll give you credit.
Okay, yeah. I was definitely I was longer than that. But when I woke up, I was like, yeah. I can't wait all day.
But
one time I did it and I was just smoking. I didn't drink. I just got like super baked. And that was when it was still at Dangerfield.
Oh, yeah. That was only the first few that were over
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah, and then I did it at the
Hollywood
the new
Hotel.
Home at the Hollywood Hotel. There was a can of whipped cream that is alcoholic whipped cream.
That, I remember that night. Megan I was there that night.
Megan and Preston brought that.
Yep.
And then I was like, this stuff is nasty. Let me just make people get down on their knees and fed it to them.
You fed it to Michael James Benson that night.
I certainly did.
I was there that night. I was on that same show with you. How do we not remember this?
I think because we were
performing under the influence. Oh God.
Yeah. I do remember.
I hate asking questions that have the answer in the question. And God damn it.
And I finished the can right side up on stage.
That's right. Just before her set, April did a whip it just to be fucking nostalgic, I guess, of the 1980s. Decided to whip it up.
I just was like, well,
whip it good.
Hurry up. Let me finish this can on people so that I can, you know.
Just go for it.
Just go for it.
Just go for it.
It was more because I just wanted to talk like this for a second to the mic because, you know, it makes your voice all weird.
Oh, Lord. Yes, I do. Oh, God. All right. So, all right. I have to introduce this next segment. So we're talking about the future of marijuana vaping, but I am going to introduce this with a story, which I'm going to apologize because it might take a while, but there's a lot to this story. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks, supportive co-host. God.
I'm going to curl up with Jack.
So I had jury duty this week. I called it on Monday, didn't have to show up.
Oh, thank God.
Call in Monday night, and I have to show up on Tuesday. Thankfully, it was right down the street, 5 minutes from where I live in Van Nuys. And I get there. I have my e-cigarette, but I always travel with weed in my car. I always have my weed and a pipe in my car. But I'm obviously leaving it in my car. I have my e-cigarette. I'm walking in. I put everything on the x-ray, and as I walk through, I have that belt that I always wear, you know, the belt, the seat belt one with the
I've seen belts
with the
like
DC
that.
Characters on it.
I don't know
I'm
your belt.
I'm very proud of this belt.
I don't know your belt, but I've seen
it. It has all the Justice League on it. It's one of those seat belt belts.
Nerd.
Yes, I am a fucking big nerd.
It's okay.
So I walk through. I'm used to metal detectors going off because it's a pain in the ass belt to take off.
Sounds like a cool belt.
It's an awesome belt, but I have to wear belts because I have a big fucking ass. And men with big asses have to wear belts because jeans for men go straight down.
Yeah.
If you get jeans that fit your waist, they'll just fucking grab your fucking ass and you'll have a hot looking ass, but you'll have a hot looking ass for a woman.
And you'll have a hot sweaty grundle.
You'll have a hot sweaty grundle. Your package will be sticking out and you'll look like you have a badonka, which you don't want to look like as a dude. You want to just look like you have a regular ass if you're a dude.
Unless you're a WeHo.
So what you do is you get pants that fit your waist. but then you get pants that fit your hips, and then you pull them up to your waist and you cinch them on with a belt, which is what I and every other big ass man in
if
the
you didn't
United
do that,
States
you'd
do.
Be, you'd be dealing crack.
Yeah, it looks terrible. It looks terrible. So that's why I'm wearing the belt. And I walk through, I'm used to the belt going off, and I lift my shirt off to show him, I'm like, I'm wearing a belt, expecting him to go, okay, cool. And he looks at my belt and he goes, that's a weapon. You have to take that back to your car.
Your seatbelt belt?
My seatbelt belt.
Is a weapon.
Is a weapon. And then the dude at the x-ray machine goes, he's got an e-cigarette in here. And the guy looks at me and goes, you have an e-cigarette? And I go, yeah, I quit smoking. I use an e-cigarette. He goes, well, you have to leave that in your car too. I go, why? He goes, well, it could possibly hold a banned substance. And I said, well, why don't you just ask me what's in there? And they started. Here's the thing. I've been a comic for a long time, and I've been lucky enough to tell a lot of jokes that have landed really hard in a room. But I've never said anything that has made someone laugh so instinctually as me saying to this cop, trust me. Like that.
As you walk into a courthouse.
They laughed so hard at the idea of me saying, why don't you just ask me what's in there? Like, we wouldn't believe what you fucking said.
Like, remember when the vapes first came out and you could rip them in the movie theaters? Oh, now God. I'm like, fuck, they're on to us.
They're laughing at me, and
need
we're
to come
going
up with something new.
And I'm like going, oh, well, what are you going to force it away from me? And they go, well, we'll tackle you if you believe what they see on the news, which I'm like, that's insensitive as hell to say.
They said that.
They said that to me, and they're all still laughing. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm a comic. I'm going to push the joke a little bit further. And so I go, well, I get it. It's a lot easier to have presumed guilt for white people than presumed innocence for black people. All the laughter stopped at that fucking moment. They're like, that's not, nothing's funny. They go, listen, return this shit to your car or you're going to miss jury duty for an embarrassing reason. Now, here's where the story tangents to what I'm getting to with the vaping.
That is great, though, because you shut them up, even though that was like one of those ones where they wanted to laugh, but they couldn't. So you tortured them.
So I went
funny
to,
but true.
I went to my car and I had a vape pen cap on me in the car as well. And I got to the car and I was returning everything. And I went, here's the thing. They give us a 10-minute break every hour because most people there are a lot of people who are smokers and you have to give us the right to go smoke. And the where we were parking is right next to the jury assembly area. And I was planning on just going outside the building and hitting my vape pen during my smoking breaks. But you know what I did during my smoking breaks every 10 minutes? I went to my car and I got as fucking stoned as I could physically get during those 10 minutes. And they let us go a half hour for lunch, which gave me 2 hours for lunch. And being 5 minutes from my house, you know what I did for those 2 hours of lunch? I spent an hour and 45 minutes of that ripping my goddamn bong.
Phyllis.
Because I could.
Yeah, Phyllis.
And you know what? That might be conceived wrong by a lot of people, but I only did that because fuck them for saying I couldn't. It's not that I wanted to, but I'm sick and tired of this whole you can't do something that's safe for everyone else but happy for you around them because some people want to stick their nose up to it. And I'm sick and tired of people, you know. Okay,
but
the,
no,
the science
can put
is out.
Anything in those,
but here's the thing. The science is out on vaping. The science is out on whether it's bad for me, good for me, or indifferent for me, or what it is.
Oh,
but
it's definitely going to be bad.
But the science is not out on what vaping is for people around me. And that is 100% safe. So what I want to do, this is my fucking standing on a soapbox, fucking pro-America, pro-freedom. My right to do whatever I want to do to myself is my own. If I'm not affecting anybody around me, why is that a problem for anybody?
Well, because it takes a really long time to get results on secondhand smoke or secondhand vapor or whatever, it's going to be a while. So,
but
and then you've got this,
they've tested what the export of what me blowing out is, and it's the equivalent of water vapor. It's me blowing steam into the air.
Yeah, but people want to be douchebags. They don't want that going up, puff of smoke up in the fucking theater. You're trying to watch a movie. Some douchebags like, and some people like you have a fucking hemi of a fucking of a battery.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We put one of my vape.
Now, can you tell me how big it is?
It, yeah, exactly. the fucking hemi. If we put my vape cartridge, which is, you know, shatter, and put that on yours, the fucking, which we should, it just rips like four times as hard as my pen. At the minimum, maybe 10 times.
Yeah, go ahead, hand me that.
Yeah, give me that fucking hemi. Your fucking. You're a Chevy, and right? Hemi is Dodge, right? Dodge Hemi? No, Hemi is itself.
Dodge Hemi, yeah. It's Dodge a Dodge Hemi.
Yeah, I was going to say Chevy.
It's a Hemi.
It's a Hemi. It's a fucking...
The Charger, which is a Hemi, yeah.
Yeah, it's a...
For any of the gearheads that are listening to Cantilinguist, I'm a gearhead along with you. Don't worry.
It's a muscle vape. But I mean, I would... If I saw somebody, like, especially the flavored ones... People rip those.
I get it in a movie theater, and they're
not even at work.
But that's the thing is that I
somebody blows that shit out. I get this big puff of smoke in my face. It might not actually be smoke. It does not mean.
But
that
it doesn't affect you.
Really, if I'm working and the bitch next to me blows fucking granny's cookies smelling fucking vapor in my face every 2 seconds,
it smells good. I've never had a vapor that ever didn't smell good, and but that's literally all it is, though, other than water vapor.
But it's,
someone's blowing Febreze in your face. Do you know how much I wish I had someone following me around with a bottle of Febreze to cover all the bad smelling shit I do in my life?
I don't know. I need to see. I need to not be looking through a cloud. I mean, some of these Russian chicks, they're like, it's like a storm rolling in.
So is it just because people are impolite about it? Because I'm all with you on impolite motherfuckers. Like I used to be a smoker. And when I would go to Vegas, I would still get pissed off at the dude smoking a cigarette two slots down from me who blows it out of the side of his mouth right into my face. I'm like, dude, I'm a smoker. And I still blow my smoke straight up in the air so no one has to deal with it. So is this more about rude motherfuckers or is this about you worrying about vapor?
No, it's just about...
Because I think it's about rude motherfuckers.
If the exhale wasn't visible, it wouldn't irritate people.
But if the exhale wasn't visible, people wouldn't use it as a viable option because they've had those before. And one of the big things for smokers, because vaporizing gets rid of a lot of the secondary addictions on top of the nicotine addictions.
Right.
Other than the thing between the two fingers, which is something that I miss a lot. I miss doing the two fingers to my mouth.
Right. Roll
but
joints.
One of the things that vaporizing will satisfy is you get to exhale something.
That fixation.
And there is a addiction to that of getting to and see something exhale from
because
you.
There's that
you
there's
know
that
how
de-stress.
Big a rip you took.
There's that break time associated. That's the one thing I miss about smoking is that the motherfuckers get to take breaks all the time. I didn't tell people I stopped smoking and I would just still go on breaks because I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
I get
yeah,
extra no. breaks. You know?
It's why I understand why
I just
every
walk around the block instead.
It's so weird why you'll meet so many chefs who are smokers and smoking by every way, shape, and form kills all your taste buds, which is terrible for a chef.
Mm-hmm.
But they only do it because that's what gets them a 10-minute break.
Mm-hmm.
And that is more to go. I mean, that's a bigger discussion about unionization
yeah.
for
yeah, yeah, totally.
The entire service industry. But that's a whole other conversation.
But
not in,
this is talking,
we can't launch into that right now.
This is talking about like portable vapes and, you know, the early days of vaping technology and where it's going. Basically, to start, and this is just from my history of being a buyer for products for a dispensary. So I got to learn a lot about vapes. And there's obviously like cannabis, like THC will start to evaporate over 292. And so there's a lot of these dial in convection, right? There's two types of vaping too. There's convection and combustion. So convection is like the hot air going through, and then combustion is kind of more like when you heat blow it and it, you know.
When you smoke it?
Well, it's you're smoking it if it's like at like 300 degrees or higher. You know, it's like vape, like the PAX vaporizer is the only portable vaporizer for flower that truly vapes. All the other ones.
I've seen that one. They sell that.
Just like you got this Hemi battery supercharger.
They sell that one at Perennial, and they're real big on They're pushing it a lot.
Yeah, well, the PAX is the best one because all the other ones burn it. You think you're vaping, but like we had a vape lounge, and we had like torches, and they call it an essential vape, and it was literally like a glass vial, and you would put like hash or wax inside of it, but you could totally rip like bubble hash in there too, water hash. And you put it inside it, and you take the torch. Now, a torch lighter is like 1,000 degrees versus like, you know, a few hundred degrees. It would cherry in there, and people were just ripping it. Like, okay, you're calling it vape. Like, you're fucking smoking that thing. I mean, you can tell yourself you're vaping it, but it's about temperature.
I remember the first vapor pen that I ever had, which was you screwed it onto the battery, but it was just a hot metal coil at the bottom of a ceramic dish.
And what kind of metal is it? You don't even know.
China. You don't even know what it is.
You don't even have regulations.
And I thought it was a vaporizer. But what I realized at the end of it, you know, being dumb and, you know, early on in any of my marijuana knowledge, when I opened it up, it was just ash and I'd empty it out. The hot coil was lighting it. So I wasn't inhaling any butane. So that's a little bit better for me. But I was still
like a car lighter, essentially.
I was just car lightering my marijuana. That's exactly what I was doing. And that's what a lot of these vapor pens.
Yeah, if they don't have, as you're describing,
that's what a lot of them are doing.
I mean, most of them. You really want to pay attention to them having, you know, an actual temperature dial. A lot of them aren't going to.
Is there a universal temperature for vaporization, not combustion?
Well, yeah, exactly. Like I said, they're 292. Anything over 292 is when THC starts to evaporate. So anything like higher than that, I would do like 260, 275.
Do you think that's the safe safe zone?
Mm-hmm. Like on Vapor Brothers, on one of those wooden... Have you ever seen a Vapor Brothers?
I've seen them a few times.
With the whip and the wooden box.
Yeah. That's everybody's first vaporizer, I feel like, is one of those.
You can dial in the actual temperature, and that's the best. Even still, I mean, unless you've got a laser thermometer or something, you still don't even know. It's the same thing when you're taking dabs. It's like if it's red hot, you're not vaporizing. You're fucking smoking it. Sorry, hate to break to you. You can tell yourself it's better for you, but
it's basically the same.
I mean,
thing.
It's still gonna get you feeling it.
Yeah, you fuck.
I was gonna say,
get you fucked up.
But I was like, oh, tone it down.
No, don't fucking turn it up to 11, O'Connor.
Oh shit.
Oh shit, son. We turned this shit up to 11.
Turned up.
Getting turned up?
Turned up. Jack's turned up.
Well, I guess we should move on to our final subject for today. Is the best way to control weed regulation? And this is because Colorado is having a lot of issues. They're trying to figure out, you know, I don't know where I fall on how much state... I'm cool with the state making their money off of marijuana.
Right.
It's their right. Absolutely. But I don't know how much I want them controlling how it's grown. I know you have a big opinion on this. You like as little outside involvement as possible in the growing of your marijuana.
Well, it kind of depends on what they're meaning by controlling. There have been
regulations.
There have been a lot of like state regulated programs, meaning computer programs that track from seed to sale, and it just kind of keeps it under wraps. They don't want things going out to the black market, etc. It's just a way of tracking things and knowing where it's going. What are you looking for? The pen?
Oh, the pen. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm trying to smoke weed. God damn it.
So. What does it say? Oh, it's in, Colorado. They're trying to figure out how to regulate it. Because you can't smoke on the sidewalks or in public.
But you were talking about...
You can't smoke in cars. You can't drive high. You can't have it in hotels or in the airport. And you can't give it to minors. It's like, Well, obviously the minor one, but you know, there's so many places you can't.
Wait, no,
use
I want to hear more about this tracking, you know, computer regulated programs tracking it from seed to sale.
This is a real thing. Yeah, everything is accounted for.
Well, tell me about it. I want to know about that.
There's a state, you know, there's a one in Washington, but it's the same type of thing that when I mentioned earlier that I about how they were setting up dispensaries and how, you know, detailed the application process was. Part of it was the same thing. You have to be able to track everything. And it's so you know every – that's why – okay, here's a, same thing in Colorado, that you can't do giveaways at the Cannabis Cup. Like Colorado – isn't that weird? The people that were from
– You can't give away anything for free.
Yeah. Everything has to be like tied to a person. Kind of like when you go and buy – Sudafed at the store.
I guess, yeah, that
makes
sense.
Do you know what
I mean? Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Because it's controlled.
Sense, yeah. Yeah.
So they, you know, just because you might be able to walk into one store and get...
Side effect of regulation.
Right. It's the same idea as they don't, like, the Sudafed is a good analogy, right? That you can go, if you're trying to make some drugs with the Sudafed, you can go to one place, clean out theirs. Now there's a database. They swipe your license. Because I'm like, I have allergies. Why do you need my license? Like, they're like, oh, because you can only buy five, you know, in a month or something. And,
yeah, yeah.
Or whatever the fucking number was. But that's.
Well, I mean, because you can make meth out of it.
Right, but the same idea is like in Colorado.
Or is it meth or crack? I don't even know.
It's meth.
Okay.
You were right first time.
Somebody watched Breaking Bad.
No, I asked them why, like, when they told me why I was swiping my ID, I knew. But. I first learned about how meth was made in a Rolling Stone article that I read in maybe 1997. I was sophomore in high school. Oh, I just dated myself. Fuck.
As you're trying not to laugh also at my girlfriend cursing it even more.
I can't wait to go.
This
is almost over. Can I want to go? guys, we're going to cut out early. But I'm afraid because we've been going and she's probably... She's been studying, and now I'm so fucked. There's like fatalities are gonna be insane.
But that's half the fun of it. Listen, Mortal Kombat's the only game that I'm like, I don't mind losing because the losing looks just as awesome as winning.
Do they still have like babalities and all that stuff? Remember, you could turn
no,
them into
not
a baby.
All of them. They don't have all those. Those are more the older.
That's so old. That was what, Super Nintendo?
That's really, don't date yourself again, man.
Oh, fuck.
April Guys. Connor has managed to stay ageless on the Cantilinguist for so long.
I don't even know who New Kids on the Block are. It's all.
Oh, you lying.
It's
you
all
lying
about.
You lying motherfucker, because I'm younger than you and I know who they are.
I don't. It's all about One Direction. And
oh, my God.
Even NSYNC is a psych. Way too old for me.
Okay, now you're going to take that back because that's fucking blasphemy. Okay,
I'm
listen,
kidding,
I'm a manly man. I love sports. I love fucking comic
you
books.
Love
so I'm a little bit of
JT.
A nerd. But I love, 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 love. I'm telling you right now, if they told me that at Staples Center there was going to be a fucking NSYNC reunion concert, I would be buying tickets
You'd be camped out in line.
They went on
You'd be
sale.
Camped out in line.
I would be one of those dudes camped out. And not because I'm like, oh, my God, they're fucking awesome. Because you know what? I respect the amount, not just the amount of number one hits that they had, but those dudes were able, all of them could not only dance, but they could also sing. They were, they sang live. They actually sang live, which a lot of those boy bands didn't.
Their mics
were live.
Justin Timberlake, right?
Yeah, Justin Timberlake, J.C. Chavez, Chris Kirkpatrick, Joey the Fat One.
Oh, my God.
And Lance Bass. You're goddamn right. I know all five of those motherfuckers.
Oh, my God.
Chris Kirkpatrick, who was originally a member of the Backstreet Boys, he was kicked out of them in 1995. That's when they formed NSYNC. They were in Germany for 3 years. They had eight overseas hits.
A frightening amount of knowledge about NSYNC.
Before they came back to the U.S., so they had their first U.S. hit.
Do you have an NSYNC t-shirt? Do you
no, actually, that I don't.
No, you ripped it, huh? You had to throw it out. It became a rag now.
I tell a joke about them because I kind of half was a fan about – well, I was a
half
fan.
Half was a fan?
I was a fan of them. theirs, half and Sydney was having a debate with her friend on the balcony about them, and I wound up knowing a lot more knowledge about them than they did. And that spawned into a bit, which launched to me knowing even more about NSYNC. So now, because of the bit and that night and that joke, I am the NSYNC knowledge.
Yeah, you have a whole file cabinet dedicated to that in your brain.
There's a lot of NSYNC knowledge up here.
I love some motherfucking JT. I saw him in Jay-Z.
I don't blame you. He's awesome.
I saw him Jay-Z at Fenway Park.
I can't even say he's awesome. I love JT because of why. Yeah, I saw that you heard him and saw him in Fenway Park, and I'm fucking jealous, but I'm trying not to be right now.
Trying to just avoid it.
Because it's more reasons that I fucking hate Justin Timberlake because, he's gorgeous. He's married.
I do have a knife.
He's gorgeous. He's married to Jessica Biel, who's also gorgeous. He's an amazing singer. He's extremely funny. I've seen the movies he's been in. He was in Black Saint Moog, and he was actually really kind of good in that. And
what is it? And what was the other one?
And
Alpha Dog and
Alpha Dog. He was not as good.
What's the Mila Kunis one?
He was not as good in Alpha Dog.
Friends with Benefits was
That's the least one. That's one. That's three. Two is Alpha Dog. One is Black Snake Moan. He was awesome in Black Snake Moan. And on top of that, he smokes weed to the point that he gets blind faced, that people have talked about what a fucking stoner he is. And on top of that, he's a scratch golfer. Fuck him. He fucking does everything I want to be able to do that I can't
Alex,
do.
I'm almost certain.
His dick probably hangs
right
to his
now.
Knees right now. Fucking.
I won't know until he stands up. But I'm gonna guess.
I need to be left alone in the room after we're done recording. You go play Mortal Kombat. I just need to be left alone for a minute.
He needs a minute.
I need a minute.
He's gonna go into the bathroom with the bidet and he's gonna shoot Nemrod.
And the big black rooster. The picture of the big black rooster.
You mean the big black cock in the bathroom?
I don't know what you're talking about, April. Oh my god. Stop it. Stop it. Being mean to me. God.
Oh. I'm going to bring you a life-size cutout of Timberlake for your studio.
When I'm angry as hell at you, I'm only pretending to be to cover up how happy I am about it. All right? Just know that I can tell you that now because everybody listening to this right now won't actually probably be in the room when you give it to me.
Yeah.
So those people in the room will think I'm actually angry at you. But you and everyone listening to this right now will know that I'm actually fucking so happy that you did it. That's awesome. That'd be a great gift. Totally. JT, the man's got talent. He's a talented fucking man. Justin Timberlake, if you're listening to this, know you got a fucking sports loving, weed smoking, fucking wood chopping, gun shooting, fucking American loving man in your corner. Saying that keep doing what you're doing.
Fuck yeah, dude. He's fucking talented.
He's a scratch golfer.
He was playing the guitar.
He could qualify for the U.S. Open. That he could play in a professional golf tournament as an amateur, but he could play in it.
But why not? Why would you do that when you could play the guitar and rap with Jay-Z?
And fuck Jessica Biel.
Well, yeah, that's going to happen regardless.
If there's a celebrity porn video I want to fucking watch, it's Jessica Biel, Justin Timberlake.
I don't know. I think she might dominate him. I have a feeling.
Fine.
I have a
whatever.
Feeling. No, I know.
I'm a dominant guy, but I don't mind watching a guy being whatever.
That's
fine.
That's just where my fantasy went.
I want to watch her tie him up and spank him. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? April is dying laughing right now. I'm sorry. Did I say out loud that I want to watch Jessica Biel put Justin Timberlake in a gimp mask?
This has been my favorite episode.
Good. Good. I'm proud. I'm fucking proud of that.
It's something worth going.
Where am I going to be? Okay. Well,
PUI.
You know what? I got PUI. I'm going to shout out PUI at the Hollywood Hotel. That's going to be the day that you're all listening to this. So if you're listening to it at 4:00 live for the first time that we're airing, fucking watch the Pacquiao fight if you...
That's May the 2nd.
If you're willing to fucking watch that fight, if you're willing to put that money in Floyd Mayweather's pocket, and then come out to PUI. Otherwise, you can catch me over on the Rifopolis Network on Vulgar Tech and the Cold World of Sports with Teddy Tutson, and Vulgar Tech is with Reverend Mitch. And yeah, that's what I'm up to. What are you up to, April?
I'm going to be at Flappers May 17th.
Flappers May 17th.
In the main room.
In the main room. Yeah. April O'Connor in the main room.
And then my mom's coming this week, so I won't be going anywhere except for to dinner and whatever the fuck she wants to do. Mama's Day stuff.
You're fucking adorable.
Oh, she's fucking adorable. I'm excited to see her.
Yeah, that is probably true, too.
Maybe I'll bring her. We're going to have to record while, you know.
So oh, that'd be fun. Yes. Listen out to the next.
The first time listen out to the next
Cantilinguist episode featuring April O'Connor's mom here on the Crab Diving Network, coming to you live ish from the Riffopolis studios here on Crab Diving. Thank you guys. Have a good night.
Good night.
Afternoon, evening.